And today, our special guest speaker is one of our wonderful prayer chaplains, Aida Pineda Pearson. After moving 11 times before the age of 9, Aida's parents finally settled the family in Brownsville, Texas. She was raised in the Catholic Church and attended regularly until 1985, when she moved to Houston and finished college. In 1990, while still living in Houston, she was introduced to Unity at the Pyramid for the first time. That experience stayed with her through several more moves, a new husband and son, and many challenging life experiences. 26 years later, they were looking for a church with a good youth group for their son, Ben. We do love Ben. Aida remembered her time at Unity and suggested that the family try out Unity of Wimberley. That was 6 years ago, and this is the rest of the story. Welcome, Aida.
Thank you, Leah. Good morning. I'm glad to be here, and it's great that y'all have joined us today. It's good to be in good company. When I was first asked to do this talk, I was a little hesitant because I tend to have performance anxiety. This is really out of my comfort zone. But I felt that Spirit was asking me to stretch a little bit. So I said yes. And although I've never done this kind of talk before, I am a longtime 12-stepper from way back. So I know how to share experience, strength, and hope. And so that's what I offer you today. I titled my talk, The Evolution of Prayer, because I was thinking recently about how much my prayer life has changed from when I was a kid to now here in Unity. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I did the whole thing. Baptism, First Holy Communion, confession and penance, fish on Fridays during Lent. I did a big Catholic wedding, and even an annulment. There were many things that I loved about the Catholic Church, especially the old ladies that had the lace coverings on their head that would kneel silently and pray the rosary. And I loved the smell of incense in the air and the comfort of the sanctuary, the quietness, and where anybody could come in at any time to pray. And I loved the rows of candles that people would light for their loved ones. But being a sensitive kid, I did take a lot of things that I heard in the church to heart. I saw God back then as a judge and a scorekeeper, keeping track of everything that I did right and everything that I did wrong. One of the Catholic responses in the Mass is, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed." What that meant to me was that I was not worthy, and that God could choose to heal me if God wanted to or not. Well, I was going to make sure that God did want to, so I became a good Catholic girl, and eventually that turned into perfectionism. I grew up with alcoholism in my family. We moved around a lot when we were young, as Leah said, 11 times before I was the age of 9, and we finally settled down in Brownsville, where all of my relatives were from. By junior high, the alcoholics' drinking had gotten worse, and that resulted in joblessness and rage. This is where my praying began in earnest. The word prayer comes from the Latin word precari, which means to ask earnestly, beg, or entreat. I did a lot of begging and entreating when I was a kid. My prayers at the time went something like this: God, please make the yelling stop. God, please make the drinking stop. God, please make the alcoholic leave. And sometimes the yelling would stop, and sometimes the drinking would stop, and sometimes the alcoholic would leave. But then they'd come back and it would all start all over again. I felt abandoned and I felt insignificant. Maybe I wasn't being good enough, or maybe I wasn't praying correctly. Or if I was praying correctly, maybe my prayers weren't being heard. Or even worse, if they were being heard, maybe God didn't really care. God was not going to help. That's what I decided at that point in my life. Then my parents decided that as a family, they and me and my two siblings were going to go to 12-step meetings. I didn't want to go, but I was dragged along. And in my first meeting, I think I cried through the whole thing. And people there listened to me, and they accepted me. I think it was the first time that I've ever talked about what was going on in my home outside of the house. There was even a friend there from school. During this time, we met the Conkeys, and they had a family counseling center. We went to them for a while, and they were a tremendous sense of support for us. Eventually, the rest of my family stopped going, but I stayed and did 12-step for another 2 years. What I know now is that God could not have forced the alcoholic to stop drinking. We have free will, and in the throes of addiction, the alcoholic tends to lose their freedom of choice unless they get help. God didn't stop him from drinking. Instead, I was given a loving fellowship and a program that I would need for years to come. In my freshman year of high school, I met a boy who was to be my first serious boyfriend, and I believed he was going to be my savior. He was going to get me out of my parents' house, and we dated for 6 years and then married in a big Catholic wedding. I didn't know it then, but I had made him my higher power. Never mind that he drank and did drugs and was controlling and possessive. I don't remember the prayers that I prayed before I was married, but I do remember the prayer that I said on my honeymoon night as I was lying next to my drunk and sleeping husband. Oh God, what have I done? But I continued going to Catholic Mass at that time. And in our church, the priest was named Father Nicolau. And he was a very small man with a very thick accent, but he had extreme passion and zeal. And he would bounce around on the altar, yelling about the gospel and gesturing all over the place. And he had a really strong message. And the sanctuary was always packed. And even people spilling outside into the sidewalk outside the doors just to listen to him speak. One of the things that he always said at the end of Mass was, "Remember that God loves you, and so do I." And that was the first time I had ever heard a Catholic priest say to me that God loved me. I hadn't really felt God's love before. I'm a tangible person, and if I can't see it or touch it, I at least need to feel it. What I didn't know at the time was that I could experience God's love through other people. When the yelling and screaming in my marriage turned into pushing and shoving, my thoughts about God turned into confusion. What had I done wrong? How did I get myself into this mess? My prayer at that time was just two words: why, God? God didn't answer directly, but suddenly I had this strong thought in my head, and it said, call the Conkeys at the counseling center. So I did, and with their help and the support of the group there, I was able to come to the realization that I did not want to be married anymore. And the only problem is that I was a Catholic, and divorce is a no-no. So unless I got an official annulment, the Catholic Church would always consider me a married woman, even if I got a civil divorce. And being the good girl that I was, I couldn't have that. So I decided I was going to get that annulment. What I know today is that in the moment that I chose to do that, God had already started the wheels turning for me. The annulment process is quite lengthy. The church first appoints you an advocate, and that advocate interviews you and gets all the information, and then they decide if you have a viable case. They then take that case in front of a tribunal. Then the tribunal has to mull it over and decide if they think that you have a good case. And if they do, they then present it to the bishop. And then the bishop makes the final determination about the annulment. My advocate's name was Sister Adrienne Wolfe. I now know that God was sending me a message there because my animal totem is the wolf. Sister Adrienne heard my story. She asked me a lot of intimate details. She was surprised that I had lasted as long as I did in this relationship. By this time, I'd only been married less than a year. Then she asked me if when I said my vows, I had intended to stay married for life. Apparently, one of the five requirements for a valid Catholic marriage is that, the intention to stay married for life. My heart stopped, and I was speechless for a while. And I stopped and thought very deeply about it, and then I realized, no, I had not intended to stay married for life. I knew that things could get bad, and I had one foot out the door and knew that if they got really bad, I could always leave. So Sister Adrian took that as the reason for the annulment. And, you know, I wanted to blame everything on my husband, but, you know, the truth was the truth. I had not intended to stay married forever. So she took that before the tribunal, and then they took it to the bishop, and then the bishop granted the annulment. And that process took way over 3 months, as I recall. At the time, I thought that I needed that annulment so that God would continue to love me. I know now that God was already loving me and had always been loving me. Through college and several relationships, I continued to make others my higher power. I lived in Houston, struggling in survival mode. The only place that I felt really connected spiritually was when I was out in nature. I suppose now that nature was my form of prayer at that time. Also in Houston, I attended the Unity Church for the first time at the Pyramid when Reverend Howard Caesar was the minister there. Unity was a whole new language for me. I had never heard the term Father, Mother, God before. I had never meditated in church before. And everybody was so joyful. I started to question my religious upbringing. In 1994, I moved to the Fredericksburg area with my then boyfriend of 6 years. His mother knew somebody who owned a huge 1,600-acre ranch where we could rent a cabin. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. My boyfriend drank, and so I found a new 12-step group in Fredericksburg. Our relationship was rocky, and after about 6 months, he moved out, and he took everything but the dust bunnies. I was at work, and when I came home, there was nothing left in my house. I had no bed or couch to sleep on. I was terrified. At that time, my 12-step group became my higher power. My prayers became the Serenity Prayer and the Our Father, although I still continued to plead in my own prayers. I didn't really ask for anything specific, though. I just really needed a deep connection with God. During that time, I decided to take a year off from romance. I needed to find myself. I was 8 months into that year off when my friend Peter and I started to notice each other. But I was determined to finish my year out because I had committed. And then my sponsor said, "Aida, nothing is set in stone." So Peter and I started dating and were married 2 years later. That began my experience with gratitude. I didn't have it all the time, but I did have it sporadically. We moved to Wimberley when Ben was a baby. I didn't go to church, but I kept going to my 12-step groups, and I began to see more of how God was working in my life. Instead of begging and pleading, my practice of gratitude grew, and I learned to ask other people for prayer. I didn't feel totally confident in my own prayer abilities, but I knew a lot of people that did, especially my mom. Still, when distressing things happened, I would default back to my pleading and would lose my connection with God. The words just wouldn't come when I was anxious or afraid. When Ben was a teenager, he started to develop deep emotional challenges, and I fell back to that default of pleading and confusion. One night at 2 a.m., I was on the internet looking up other kids that had similar symptoms to Ben. I was desperate for information. And I saw a pattern there, and I could see what my son was struggling with. And in the moment, I didn't want him to have that. And I just cried to God, "God, please, no, please make it not so." Well, God didn't answer me directly, but he did lead me to a website. And on that website, we found a professional in Austin who would help us for the next 9 years. What I know now is that God didn't take away the challenge. Instead, God sent us all the resources that we needed. When Ben was further into his teen years, he needed a community. We started looking around for churches that had good, strong youth groups. We went to a different church here in town, and it wasn't quite the right fit. And then I remembered my Unity days in Houston, and I went, you know, I think I want to try Unity. And so we came, and we stayed. Many know the journey that we have traveled with Ben through his teen years. There were many, many challenging times involving his emotional and mental health. Through it all, our Unity family held us and loved us and prayed with us. One particular friend, my sweet friend Drew, hi Drew, if you're watching, she told me that she was going to pray for Ben's highest and best good every morning for 30 days, so I was not to worry because she had it covered for me. I felt so comforted. I have since adopted her practice, and I have prayed for other people's loved ones for 30 days when they were struggling too. I started to immediately ask friends for prayer whenever anything distressing happened in my family, and I began to energetically feel those prayers lifting us up and supporting us from underneath. Ben graduated this year and is now attending college. He went to his last youth rally this summer, and he said that it was the best one that he had ever had. He really felt like he had matured since he had been going to these rallies, and he really had a heartfelt connection with everybody. Thank you, Unity. Thank you, God, for loving us through others. One sponsor suggested that if my childhood God was not working for me, I should fire him. So I wrote a long letter explaining to God why I didn't need him anymore, and I fired him. She then suggested that I write a list of all of the qualities that I needed in a loving higher power. So I did. That was the beginning of a brand new relationship with the God I have today. I began taking every class that was offered here at Unity when Reverend Jill became our minister. I was hungry for a new way of thinking and living. I was through with begging and feeling judged, and my concept of God was changing. I no longer believed in punishment or an arrogant God who needed to be appeased. Reverend Kit added a new dimension to my spirituality when she introduced us to the science of mind and its teachings. Then one day, Jan McGowan suggested that I consider becoming a prayer chaplain. Who, me? I don't think I have the right stuff for that. But she insisted that I did. So I tucked it away in my brain for a while and went on my way. A while later, the church had a volunteer drive, and Jan Govain was manning the chaplain sign-up table. So I stood there, and I looked at it, and I thought, do I really want to do this? But I walked over there anyway, hesitantly, and started asking her questions, and she answered my questions, and I shared my reluctance with her and how, you know, why I wasn't good enough to do this. And she said, well, Aida, why don't you just sign up and just come to the trainings and then decide if it's something that you want to do? Very sneaky, Jan. So I did, and I began to learn about affirmative prayer, which is what I practice here today. Today, I affirm everything is for my highest and best good, that God's got this no matter what. I know that love is the highest power, and I give thanks for everything that I can. The staff here at the church keeps gently asking me to step up. It began with becoming a chaplain and then doing platform readings for the live stream and standing here before you today. I know that if I had said no, I would not have grown in my prayer life and in my spirituality. I certainly wouldn't be standing here. I wanted to do this talk today so I could share this beautiful journey that I have been privileged to be on. I hope there's something in my story for you. What I know today is that God was always there for me, in my family, and in those that were sent to help us. I've heard it said that God answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, not now, or I have something better. If God simply removed my challenges, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I would have missed out on the love and joy that I experience in my 12-step and church families. And I would have missed out on knowing all of you lovely people. I would not be able to be of service to others who are going through the things that I went through. I would not have the loving relationships that I have today with my parents. I would not have learned forgiveness and patience in quite the same way. Most of all, I would not have the experience of God that I have today. My God is love. My God is nature. My God is the source of all kindness and compassion. My God is everywhere present. My God is. So always remember that God loves you, and so do I. Let's take these thoughts into prayer, into meditation. Let's take a moment to relax. Take a few deep breaths and close your eyes if you wish. Remembering that the God of all is with us now, I say thank you. Thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story and my experience, strength, and hope with everyone who's watching today. Thank you for the way that you have made us, each and every one, as unique expressions of you. Thank you for the opportunity to grow and to learn, especially through the difficult times. Those are the moments that shape us, that bring out our highest and best, that develop our compassion and our kindness toward each other. Thank you, God, for the gift of prayer. And no matter how we choose to do it, whether we pray out loud or silently, or whether we just sing it or dance it or walk it, help us to remember and know that the important thing is just to be connected to you. That no matter what we have in our hearts that we need to pray, that you already know it. That the words aren't important, but that what's behind the words is what really matters. Our ability to know that you're there, to know that you've got this, to know that you are in charge, that the universe is in its own timing and the planets are in their orbits. It is all divine order and divine intent. We offer a special prayer for our students, teachers, staff, and medical essential workers who are dealing with the COVID surge while still trying to do what needs to be done. God, may we always remember that when we feel disconnected to you, all we have to do is look into the eyes of someone that we love and know that we will see you there. Help us to remember that when things get to be too much for us, it's okay to reach out and ask for help. Because that is how we're made. That is how we were created, as each one an individual expression of you. Collectively, we are God. We are God expressing, and I'm so grateful to know that today, deep in my heart. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for guiding us. Thank you, God, for being everywhere present. Thank you, God, for unity and everybody who is drawn to unity and who is feeling connected today. May today's message be exactly what you wanted people to hear. And may we all be safe. May we all be vibrantly healthy. May we all be happy. May we all live with ease and have deep peace in our hearts. And so it is. Amen.